Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. Again, the number is 805-285-9736. This is probably the show that I promoted the most, using a vignette, playing it many times on this program and also on the Total Education Hour. The opportunity for Rob Rosselli. And the thing that's really Rob has been trying to do, he came on the Total Education Hour. He took apart somebody who had no experience with evolution, Jason, the public school guy. But tonight I have a challenge for him. There are five people involved that do not agree with Rob. And Rob, you have the first 7 minutes to kind of put your little speech out there why you're doing this. Why you don't think that evolution should be taught in schools. And tell me why. Again, I think you have a good basis, but kind of give me your background a bit, and then we'll bring on the callers.
All right, and thanks for having me again, and I look forward to the conversations I'm going to have here in the next hour. Just me personally, I'm going to give a little bit of my background. I'm a currently practicing civil engineer. I'm professionally licensed in three states, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. I have a civil engineering degree, a master's in civil engineering. And that's not to say, you know, how smart I am. I mean, you know, you open up your phone book and guys like me are a dime a dozen. I mean, engineers, okay, believe me. You know, as an undergraduate and graduate student, I was probably a B student, right? Nothing to write home about. So I'll be I have been accused of being very intelligent, and I'll be the first one to tell you I'm very modest, because I've seen people, very bright people, not necessarily religious people either, academically brilliant people. I know they're out there. But that's just to give you a little bit of my background and where I'm coming from as far as that goes. My website is boxofsunglasses.com. So everything I say or going to say, I don't know where this conversation is going to go. If we're going to stick with the so-called science of evolution or get into its more rancid offspring and results in history, in recent history. So everything I say is corroborated on that site. I mean, just the listeners need to realize, I mean, we only have, an hour, under an hour with commercial breaks to get some of the stuff in. So I may say some things that sound outlandish or sound like I'm just going over stuff briefly, but everything I say is corroborated, footnoted, and essentially confirmed through the bibliography and all the information that's on my website. There's several pages there, for better or for worse. My first book called They Live, ironically enough, which I embed in the theory of evolution, and my second book, The Un-American Genocidal Complex, which, ironically enough, goes into the whole American eugenics movement that was founded on Darwinism that, in turn, fed Adolf Hitler. Okay, and that's basic historical fact. Margaret Sanger, Helena Blavatsky, and all these people. And I have firsthand quotes from all of these people and the whole American eugenics movement. And that was all, again, based on Darwinism and his allies, Haeckel, and these other kinds of people, these so-called intellectuals of the 1800s. So that information is there. Again, that's the Un-American Genocidal Complex. You can get them on Amazon, or you can download them on my website, PDF download. And if you do that, you're on the honor system. You can get them. I ask for a $5 donation. Or just take them, because I don't want people to say I'm doing this for the money or shock value. So those arguments will be squashed relatively quickly. That's the best I can do at this point. And again, if you want the hard copies, go on to Amazon and whatever. So that's kind of my background and where I'm coming from. Now, as far as evolution itself, look, I'm willing to take on the most, you know, the top MIT, PhD physicist, whoever you care to throw at me. I'll take 1,000 of them in a room at the same time and have this argument I'm going to have tonight. And people out there may be saying, well, you know, who is this guy to say these kinds of things? And I'll be the first one to tell you. I mean, and I'll give you an analogy. Let's just say, you know, obviously I'm a creationist and I believe in God. the God of the Bible, the Old Testament, and Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Now, if you look at the creator of the universe, who obviously has to have an IQ of infinity, okay, and that's who I'm, you know, that's who I'm defending and standing with. You know, with my IQ of say 100, and I'm just throwing out numbers here. I mean, what is it? What is it if the top MIT physicist, the top physicist in the world, has an IQ of say 500 on the same scale? It's infinitely small compared to the creator of the universe. Now, of course, you know, obviously these people that are coming on tonight do not believe in a creator. So my goal is to sit back and let them explain the most basic laws of physics. I mean, this is college level physics, freshman level physics. And the questions, we'll keep it strictly scientifically and objective. I don't know how much more time I have, but that's...
No, Rob, I want to just kind of add to this. I tell you right now, I'll just give you an example of what you have yourselves cut out for, is basically what Rob was able to do to on the global warming issue. You literally tore those people apart. But these guys are talented, and that's what I wanted to bring out. But I think what you're trying to state is, and I cannot wait to learn this, because again, the Catholic Church, Rob, and this is a good point that we're going to bring up if I was involved in this debate, but I wouldn't even want to, because when you talk about the global warming, you lose me about 5 minutes in, so I've been learning a little bit more from listening to you. And then Grant Jeffries taught me a lot as well when I had him on the program. Basically, Rob, the fact is, when I start to shake my head and understand, the Catholic Church believes, yes, evolution should be taught as a science. And yes, God is involved in evolution. So that could be an interesting discussion we could have. But these people might not believe exactly what you're thinking. So kind of setting the table, I guess you don't want to spoil anything more into this, but the whole fact of the matter is that you believe evolution should not be taught because it's not true, correct?
Exactly. And I'm going to say evolution at best, okay? Now, we don't have time. I mean, maybe even come on in the future at some point and, you know, get into the rancid result of what evolution has wrought, not the least of which is Adolf Hitler. And again, that's all fully documented fact. But let's just stick with the scientific, you know, objective side of things for tonight. At best, evolution is a colossal waste of time. I mean, what are we really studying? Okay, we're studying our origins, but they never think about all the scientists and all the effort that goes into trying to figure out our origins. And you know, then why? I mean, I'll tell you all this to find out our origins. Who knows? You know, solve disease or, you know, cure this or, you know, find out this or find out that. But, you know, why? How is that going to help? I mean, you know, what is the purpose? In other words, if we came from slime or we're the fittest, we're the survival of the fittest, and why do we need to study our origins? I mean, we should just be studying ourselves, correct? So, you know, not only scientifically does it not make any sense, it doesn't make any sense logically on a common sense basis. And I will say this. Okay, and let me just say this to all the listeners out there, and you know, in Christianity, you know, Jesus Christ was definitely not a pacifist. Okay, you know, and we're getting that wrong impression with the Catholic Church and Rick Warren and all these other people. But at the same time, you know, it's an all or nothing proposition. Okay, you can't be, a so-called Christian, and don't get me started on the Catholic Church and go into the history of that organization. Okay, it's nothing but sun god worship, and it's based on Egyptian paganism. And I'm sorry if that offends any people out there, but that's pretty much the truth. So, you know, if you're a Catholic, you really need to look in the history of your own church. And I don't have time to go and get into that right now.
No. I think we'll have to debate that sometime, Rob, and you'll have to – I'll get the gloves out in that fact. But that's fun. That's what I enjoy. But basically, waiting on our first caller, Kevin, and if we're not on Kevin, we're going to go to Mike first. And I guess we're going to take Mike first, then Kevin now, because we don't have Kevin on the line yet. So let's go. Is this Mike on the line? Let me see. Mike, do I have you on the line? Hey, Mike.
Yes, you do.
Okay, so Mike, tell...
I am calling from China, so yeah, hopefully our connection will stay good.
Okay, but Mike, tell us a little background on yourself, and what you and then we'll get this debate started between you two first. Then we're waiting on Kevin to call after that. But basically, tell me your background really quickly, and then Rob will bring out his facts, and you'll bring out your facts in about 5 to 6 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. I own a limousine company for 35 years, and I drove people from future presidents to heroin addicts, and I discussed probably evolution and creationism with probably most of the people, and the big question is, why do you exist? And I get different viewpoints from all over the world, and I synthesized those thoughts, my own thoughts, and took the general consensus and came up with my own belief.
All right, let's get right to it. Now, let's go, Rob. Why should you not teach evolution in schools, and why is it not a true science?
Well, let me just say this, and just real quickly, a lot of listeners out there, and my, you know, my opponent, and tonight, you know, we'll try and keep this, you know, civil and on an objective basis. And you know, on my website, there's God's simple salvation plan. I think that's the most important thing we need to get out of this tonight. It's an open invitation, but again, biblical Christianity is an all or nothing proposition, and obviously, I'm in the all camp, and my opponents are not. And that invitation is open to them, and it's not my invitation. It's from God himself, all right? And I just say that. But as far as evolution, I'm saying at best, it is a colossal waste of time, okay? And I would just like to ask, I mean, I have books, and, you know, and everybody else has books, and you can call references, and but let's just forget all that. Let's just talk the scientific method and scientific experiment, okay? You know, if my opponent, if he wants to come at me and call me a creationist or a flat earther, that's fine, okay? I'm not saying I'm innocent in that regard, okay? I mean, God does use words like fool and silly and brutish in the Bible, but let's not get into that right now. Let's just stick with the scientific objectivity, and I'm all ears. Now, someone needs to explain to me, and again, I'm a civil engineer with a very modest academic background, nothing to write home about, and I promise, as I'm sitting here and you're hearing me, I have a pencil and paper at waiting. I want a physicist or a scientist to explain to me how the Big Bang comports, or how it conforms or does not conform to Newton's first law of motion. And I don't want to hear, you know, creationist this and, you know, I want to hear pure scientific discussion as to why we have elliptical orbits of 9 planets around the sun, which is in a direct contradiction to Newton's first law. In other words, when did Newton's law become valid, and can we experiment the Big Bang? Can we create a ball?
It was a contradiction by Copernicus, and they had to hide it for 25 years, or the church would have killed them, who all believed in God.
Well, we're not talking God, okay? Forget God, all right? That's all, you know, creationism, that's flat earth, and that's all. I'm asking a specific
question. Who is your God?
Question.
Who is your God?
Well, hold on. Wait. Forget God, okay? I'm sitting here. Okay, and I have a calculator, I promise, and an eraser and a piece of paper. I'll even help you out. Okay, if you explode a ball or an egg or whatever it is that got the whole thing started, okay, Newton's first law of motion, okay, says that those pieces of that ball should go on in infinity, you know, absent a resisting force. And there is no resisting force because there's no air, okay, there's nothing there. I don't want to hear God. I don't want to hear anything. I want to hear... Okay, and we're not talking books, we're not, you know, nothing about evolution, biological evolution. I want to start, surely, as a scientist, you must have looked at this, or some scientist somewhere must have thought of this and said, wait a second, you know, we have to solve Newton's first law of motion with the Big Bang, and I want to know who that scientist is, what experiments have been done, and where is the mathematical formula to back it up. Forget God, okay? Religion doesn't
exist.
Are
you trying to say a human might is going to recreate a Big Bang theory in perfect order? That's impossible.
Well,
then you're asking the impossible. You're not being realistic.
Why am I asking the?
You have to look at the facts. Life is energy. Life is based on energy. Everything that moves has energy. People have obviously a superior social dominance over the planet. We have unique brains. Our brains are quite a piece of work. It would be the complexity to be built in human to be made in 7 days doesn't add up.
Well, hold on a second. You're back to arguing religion again, okay? I'm asking you a specific question. Newton's first law of motion. I'm even giving you the benefit of the doubt of where the energy came from. I'm not even asking you that. I'm saying we have an atom, a ball, or whatever point exploded at the so-called Big Bang, and I'm asking you to explain to me scientifically how the planets end up in a perpetual elliptical orbit around the sun, knowing that Newton's first law of motion.
It was done by chance.
It was done by chance.
There was no scientific. There's no scientific thing to this. It was all done by chance. It's our creator. Whether you want to consider whoever you might want to consider who our creator is, did this all by chance, and he's farming us for energy. That's it. It's very simple. You're making a big case study over something that you will never ever answer. The mind is magical. Your ability to analyze what you're saying is not reasonable and fair because you're being biased.
I'm being biased?
You believe that there's a creator that created the human beings. Yeah, you're right. There's a creator, but it's not a theological or biblical situation. I think this is the argument of atheism and believing in God and the Bible.
So Rob,
you're trying
Rob.
To take it away from the Bible. You aren't even protecting the Bible.
Rob. Now, he's not answering the question. What question do you want him to answer, Mike?
I'm gonna say it one more time, okay? Newton's first law of motion, an object that's acted on by a force will remain in motion unless acted on by an outside force or an object at rest will remain at rest, okay? Now, obviously, the Big Bang, all right, there was an explosion, okay? Newton's first law of motion says that the pieces of that explosion should have gone off in linear paths forever. Of course, there was no atmosphere, there was no air resistance to stop those pieces of the object. I'm not talking God, I'm not talking creator, okay? I'm asking a very specific scientific question. I want an objective answer.
I'll answer your question. Newton was a human being.
Okay.
I can spend here and give you my own theory of why we exist. And it doesn't mean that I'm wrong. It doesn't mean that I'm right, but that's my belief. But just because Newton came up with a so-called a theory of flaws that you seem to have created on your own interpretation of what he said, you're trying to claim that because Newton said this, then your position is right, which is actually not correct in the human psyche of understanding life and your existence. You're actually stepping over your ground.
So, Mike, I see it's more of an opinion on this. The question, I guess he's going with the whole thing with Newton, but any scientific proof you say that evolution is true? Just to give me that real quick, Mike, before we get to Kevin.
Yes, I will give you some scientific proof. Is that, first of all, if love and hate, the scientific proof is more of a philosophical proof. I don't think there is any hardcore chemical analysis of atoms and Big Bang theories, but I do believe, from my understandings and my observations, that love and hate is the same. And our creator is farming us for energy that we give off through social, cultural interaction. And that's why there's different cultures and different social situations. So as we speak and what we do, the energy is being that our creator desires that unique energy. He's farming us for it, and he'll never come here. He'll never show up, and people will continue to die and live, and the energy will get more sophisticated as humans become more sophisticated. It's all done as an energy proposition, and most likely the Northern Lights could be an explanation for where this energy is going, and the energy is going to be absorbed. And we can't see this, much like we cannot understand how I can talk about something 10 years ago, 5 years later, tomorrow, yesterday, the same day. No scientist in the world can tell you why the human mind can do this, because it's magical. It's our creative biggest secret. And for you to sit and try to defend any position about this is totally, it's ignorant. I mean, there's not any basis for anyone's argument to be 100% right on this planet, other than the fact we do know we are and we do have energy.
All right, Mike, where can we find more information on you real quick? And because we're going to get to the next one. Rob, I think hearing this and saying it's an opinion, right, Rob?
Well, that's fine. I mean, but you know, he keeps referring to a creator, which is fine. And so, I guess you're into intelligent design. Does that sound right? I mean, is that an accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay, Mike, where can we find more information really quickly on you?
You can read more about what I have to say about everything in the world at malice2012.com. www.malice2012.com. And I thank you so much for your time.
Well, thanks, Mike, for calling from China, and I hope to have you back on again, okay? Thanks. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Mike.
That was Mike Malice. And now, Kevin, you finally got through, didn't you?
I did indeed.
You're welcome. The lines were busy. Just keep dialing. Sometimes that happens. Maybe a lot of people are flooding the lines tonight for this topic. But I consider you the bizarro Rob, Kevin. So tell your background really quickly, then you guys can start your little duel, because I think finally we're going to get some science involved and not opinion. Because you know what happened, Rob? I think this guy literally believed you in the intelligent design, and he didn't know what he was debating, Mike.
I was a little perplexed, but look, that's fine. You know, I'll say it again. You know, Christianity, biblical Christianity, is an all or nothing proposition. You know, an intelligent design does not meet the standard. And let me just say this. You know, intelligent design is out there, but it doesn't necessarily mean God created the universe. It could have just easily been Bozo the Clown. And I'm not saying that to be funny, but I'm making the point that Mike just made, is that, you know, basically you just believe anything and make it up, is essentially what he was saying. And that's basically what intelligent design is. They know the science doesn't work, so they come up with that. But we'll give it another shot. I'll see if I get my question answered.
All right, Kevin, just tell our audience, and we have your picture up on the slideshow. I met your publicist in the publicity summit this weekend, last Saturday. But tell us a little information on you, because I think that you and Rob are alike in many ways, so this is going to be an interesting little duel.
Okay, a brief review of my project began when I was, 9 years old, and I was exposed to religion for the first time. I was raised by a Jewish father, Catholic mother, and they opted to keep religion out of it to keep peace in the family. So they assumed I'd figure it out on my own. And they took me to church once on Easter just to expose me to it. And then I went to Sunday school with some friends up the street. And I still remember the Sunday school teacher explaining this story in the Bible to me. And I got to a part that didn't make any sense. I questioned her on it. And she said, well, that's the part you have to take on faith. And I questioned her further and said, so are you saying that if you believe something's true, it becomes true? And she said, yes. And that sounded even stranger than the story that she described in a Bible, and I knew at that point religion would not be for me because I wasn't capable of this leap of faith. I felt even at that ripe old age that you had to have some reason to concede that something was true. So then over the next couple of years, I saw that this faith-based standard was leading to death and destruction all over the planet, as everybody thought they were right about this stuff. So even though it was supposed to create unification and harmony, it seemed to be doing the opposite. And I decided that there had to be a better way to come up with rules of interaction that were based on the standard of evidence that could transcend these faith-based differences. And then 20 years later, got started on the project, and that was in 1990. And since then, I've accumulated about 30,000 hours of study to put together my book, Living with Evolution or Dying Without It.
All right. Well, let's get to. I definitely want to read that book. It just sounds really interesting because, as I told Rob, and I think Rob, you got another debate on your hands. We're going to go Catholic Church versus your church, and that'll be an interesting debate, especially with somebody. If you'd be interested, that would be another, I guess, the religion roundup. But we'll get to that, trust me, because I like this,
sure.
Rob. I like dialogue out here, and that's why I like when you come on and like my people. But okay, so let's go right with it. Rob, I gave you – Rob, ask him the same question because the other guy couldn't answer it.
All right, Kevin, look, I mean, obviously I'm a creationist and, you know, you don't agree with me, and that's fine, and I will say this, you know, as I say to our listeners, I'll say it again, biblical Christianity, it's an open invitation, and that's, it's not just to you, it's to the listeners out there. When you sleep on this and you think about it the next weeks, months ahead, think about, let it absorb, and you're free to open up the King James Bible and start reading the New Testament, the Old Testament, and that's fine, okay? You stated your position on the Bible. I've think mine is understood. Okay, so let's forget all that. And the previous, you know, we had a guy calling from China, and he turned out to be an intelligent design person, which is fine. I don't know where you stand, but also I'm looking for, now you talk about faith and lack of faith. Now, I'm sure you know, and if you heard Mike before, you know, I have a civil engineering background. I'm a practicing civil engineer. I don't consider myself particularly intelligent amongst the crowd of engineers out there. I know there are a lot of intelligent ones out there. I'll be the first one to tell you that. But I am sitting here with pencil and paper and an eraser and a calculator, and I want someone to explain to me, without bashing God or not understanding the Bible on objective science, how the Big Bang can be possibly conformed to Newton's first law of motion?
Well, the multiple universe theory could be one explanation.
Well, hold on,
hold on.
I don't want to hear theory. You don't understand me. I want someone that did an experiment, okay? You had a ball or a point or whatever it is, you know, they're saying now, that exploded. You know, Newton's law says all those pieces should have gone off in different directions for infinity. You know, a force, it's not acted on by another force. There's no air. There's no air resistance. We all know that we have an elliptical orbit of planets around the sun. I want to know what happened at the Big Bang. When did Newton's law become valid, or is it valid? I don't want to hear theory, postulate, hypothesize. I want mathematical. References.
Well, first of all, the physics during the period of inflation or whatever precisely happened at that point, we're still sorting that out. That's what we're doing at CERN and other linear accelerators and the like. But let me interject here briefly.
Okay.
No,
please.
You had your piece there.
Okay.
Now,
please,
you are civil engineer by background. You're a civil engineer by background. You know how science works.
Yeah.
Okay, what's it based on? Is it inductive reasoning or deductive reasoning?
Well, you're not answering my question, okay? Now,
give and take.
Okay.
You're asking for something absolute that took place at a given point in time for which we don't have sufficient evidence yet. The way science works, it's a matter of inductive reasoning, where you collect as much data, get as good of an understanding as the mechanisms as you can, and then you piece together the puzzle through an aggregation of evidence, where you can never gain certainty. You can only gain a probability of certainty. So for you to say this is what absolutely happened at this time, at this place, prove it to me with a mathematical formula, you're speaking of the realm of mathematics, logic, and geometry, which is even scientific. That's a whole other field.
But wait a second. I'm asking you a specific question. Now that's fine. If you know, you're talking, I guess what you're getting at is the scientific method, and that's fine. But again, I'm asking, you know, and you mentioned CERN. Let's talk about CERN. That's something else I have a major problem with. And you know, maybe the combined IQ over there of everybody involved is, you know, and I said this before, if there's 1,000 scientists with a 500 IQ, and I'm sitting here with my 100 IQ, okay, I want to know, with CERN, what's the deal with CERN? So in other words, how is it that all this design, all these different engineering disciplines, from everything from civil engineers to physicists, electrical engineers and computer engineers and all these other disciplines got together to produce CERN, okay? All this design and intelligence. Now, there's one in to get the results of a random explosion. Now, I have a problem with that. Now, please explain that to me, and why is it that, you know, faith in God isn't allowed, but you have faith in godless science? Explain this to me.
Okay, I will be happy to. The reason that I have confidence but not faith in science is because it's a self-correcting mechanism to where you have all these subjective forces doing battle with one another, to where it's just like a legal system where you have your prosecuting attorneys and defense attorneys, and then the jury sits on the side and then sorts out the truth after they hear the arguments. Now, science is a bit better than that because it also takes place in time. Once they develop a hypothesis, then it gets tested. But it's not just a one-time deal where you come down with a verdict and it becomes precedent. It's continually tested forever and ever to where if something does not become battle-hardened and can hold up to all the scrutiny, then it gets disregarded. Now, the problem with the standard of faith is that once you develop it, then you just exclude it from all scrutiny because it's just assumed to be absolute and true forever and ever. So that's the power of science, is it is self-correcting.
Okay, so in other words, Newton's laws of motion, Newton's first law, that's self-correcting. So now if we can't be assured about Newton's, which is basic, you know, freshman college-level physics, if not high school physics, if we can't be sure about those laws, and then everything is up for grabs, isn't it? Then we get to the question of what is reality and what is real. And by the way, we're supposed to be debating science, not having a philosophical discussion, aren't we?
Well, this is the basis for science. You have to understand science in order to talk about it, don't you?
Yeah, okay. So let's go back to my original question. Explain this to me, at least theoretically. If not, I mean, you're an engineering background. You know, we have labs in college, you know, and you learn something in physics or soil mechanics, and you went and you did a lab and you demonstrated it. And I'm asking you, where has it been demonstrated? How can it be demonstrated that the Big Bang, I mean, do we have to do all this effort at CERN, in other words? Can all these guys just create a vacuum chamber where there's no air resistance, take a steel ball with a couple of weak hinge points, blow it up, you know, explode it, and have those pieces, you know, somehow magically stop in midair and start revolving in elliptical orbits around some other object known as the sun?
You skipped over a huge amount of steps there. In terms of the inflation phase. Okay. Well, you have just failed to mention the fundamental forces. So you said that, okay, Newton had nothing to do with the Big Bang. That would be more Einsteinian than Newtonian, because Einsteinian physics actually trumped Newton's physics in terms of very large scales. Newton's physics worked quite well at the level that we live at, at our existence here on Earth. But once you start to talk about vast distances or gravitational forces or these things, that's when Newton's laws have to give way to Einstein's laws. So those don't really apply, except for the fundamental forces, that you have the strong nuclear force, weak nuclear force, electromagnetism, and gravity. Now, those, the first three were in effect with the plasma right after the Big Bang, seconds or minutes. And then they started to create self-organization. And then once a little bit of the nuclear activity took place, then gravity would kick in. So it's not like all these little particles got scattered and then there were no other forces, and they should have just gone off in there on the trajectories that they were sent.
Okay, so in other words, all these forces just randomly came into existence?
Well, they came with the Big Bang. They exist in the particles of matter. We know this. It's replicated in laboratories throughout the world. Do you not think that the weak and strong nuclear forces and gravity and electromagnetism exist?
Okay.
They definitely exist. I mean, let's just look at gravity. I mean, so how did the force known as gravity that, you know, that keeps us all planted on the Earth here, how did that come out of the Big Bang?
These were the forces that were part of the mix when it happened.
I see, I know the talking points
now,
of Rob's.
You're looking
Kevin.
You're looking for some metaphysical, philosophical answer, and I'm giving you the physical.
I am. I'm looking for a metaphysical answer. I'm asking you. I want the very simplest experiment to demonstrate the Big Bang, and you're just pulling stuff, hypothesizing and postulating.
Okay.
Here's
the power of science.
So
you
Kevin,
have to be willing
Kevin,
to say
somebody,
you don't
somebody,
know when you don't know.
Right, Kevin. You got about
exactly.
a minute because we kind of extended it based on the questioning Rob has. We have Dan on the line coming up, then Bennett. But, Kevin, I think what I've seen so far is basically he's trying to go by his talking points. And forgive me, Rob. Again, when we're talking about global warming, I completely agree with you. But I'm waiting for something evolution that's not involving creationism. So you believe the Big Bang Theory would not happen if it wasn't for God then, correct, Rob?
I'm saying the Big Bang Theory based on the laws of thermodynamics and Newton's laws of motion is a fallacy, okay? Now, you can go into Einstein's theories, but then, you know, there's that word theory again, okay? Now, we keep coming back to the same basic problem here.
Okay.
I have not heard.
Okay.
Let me add this, though. Anything in science is a theory and forever will be a theory.
Right.
Because it's based on inductive reasoning.
Correct.
So to say that something is just a theory means it's not a fact is a bogus argument. Because you can have such an aggregation of evidence that is so overwhelming that it would take just some phenomenal bit of evidence to overturn, like centuries of study, and that's actually what you're talking about with evolution. The case is just so strong from every discipline of science where they all converge, anywhere from archaeology to chemistry to cosmology. You're basically discounting the entire paradigm of science and saying the whole project is bogus.
So okay,
archaeology supports evolution.
So okay, so now you got the next person, Rob, to go on that. But Kevin, where can we find more information on you really quickly? But I'd love to have you back. I really think that you and Rob could have an hour debate on evolution, and we're going to have to set that up. Don't you think it'll be a great opportunity? But I want to put
great
topics. And you and I could talk off air, Kevin, because I think that would be an awesome one. But we have other callers, I promise, tonight. But where can we find more information on you?
Okay, you can find information on my book at www.livingwithevolution.com. I also have a blog that I tie current events and cultural issues into the evolutionary perspective. You just add /blog to the Living with Evolution title. And the book's available on Amazon and at all major booksellers.
All right, Kevin. I'm definitely going to set you up for an interview because I really am interested in learning more about that. But again, I think the one thing Rob's trying to bring is anything that's theory is not faith. Okay? All right. Thanks a lot, Kev. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Kevin.
That was Kevin. Bye. Now it's Dan. And Dan is a big time. I want to hear your whole thing. I apologize. Rob has been asking so many different questions of my other guests, but Dan, I want to know your background because it was really interesting how I found you on Reporter Connect on Harrow. But tell me a little bit about yourself, Dan.
Is it Harrow or Harrow? I always wonder.
Harrow. You say tomato. I say tomato.
Well, I was, let's see, I guess in a nutshell, I worked for IBM when I was in college, helped them launch the first PC. Then I worked at a record company, Capital EMI Music, and hung out with the likes of Duran Duran and MC Hammer. Then I worked at Intel, and my job was to travel around with the chairman and do Andy Grove's demos on stage. I was terrified of speaking on stage, so I took a comedy class to get over the fear of speaking, and since then I have performed the Democratic Convention at TED Conference in India and the United Nations and a number of other events.
Wow, Dan. Interesting, very interesting background. But what about your scientific background now? What is your thought on this whole thing? Where can you bring up in this debate on evolution?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I, of course, am definitely a proponent of evolution. But I'll tell you something. I have to kind of disagree with the people who are disagreeing and say that I also am a little suspicious of this Big Bang Theory. The concept that everything could have come, everything around us, the whole universe came from one little point and that there was nothing beforehand, I have a bit of a problem with that.
Okay. All right,
I know that's kind of like the overarching scientific theory, and you know, I consider myself very scientifically minded, but what was here before that existed? There had to have been something there, and you know, it's just, how can there be an end and no beginning? It's weird, or no end and no beginning. I don't understand.
Okay, so let's go, Rob, with the question. So he kind of agrees with you, the Big Bang Theory is not true. So now, let's let Dan have his opportunity, Rob, to tell him why evolution is real, why it should be taught in schools, why is it a true theory, and that basically the whole thing, let's go to and what I'm shocked about is we're not hearing a Science 101 textbook on evolution, but what's your take, Dan?
Well, there's just if you're a creationist, then you believe that the world is what I think 12,000 years old, like Sarah Palin does, and you've got fossils and evidence that are, you know, hundreds of millions of years old. I mean, to me, that's enough said.
Okay, what is your take then? So basically, you're saying that. That the world has been around for many, many years.
And here's the problem with, you know, a fundamental principle of this whole evolution. I'm sorry, of the creationism thing is, this world is so wonderful and human beings are so perfect. They had to have been created by a super intelligent being that created everything. Well, by that same logic, then that super intelligent being would have in turn had to have been created by another super intelligent being. Am I correct? Because that being is so much greater than humans, and people say humans are so perfect, well, something else must have created it. Well, then that other something that created us, which is even more perfect by logic, something would have had to create that too. Am I right?
Right. So your basic belief is you're going to go right back to asking Rob, how many years has the world been around? What Sarah Palin believes, or what the Catholic Church believes? I had to say that, but okay, go ahead.
Well, according to the best biblical source I have, just about 13,000 years.
So none of these fossils that can be proven to be 65 million years old, are they lying, or...
Oh, I don't know. You tell me. Now, the previous two guests, you know, I put a very simple high school physics challenge in front of them, and all I got was a bunch of philosophy and postulation and theories, and it seemed, you know, you and I are in agreement on the lack of the, you know, of logic and scientific backing to something called the Big Bang Theory. So that leaves us with, you know, the other option is that, you know, the universe has existed for infinity.
Yes.
Correct. I mean, that's what you have to be saying, right?
That's what I believe. It's always been here. It'll always be there.
I have a couple questions, and maybe you can answer them. I mean, number one is, you know, explain to me. We'll switch from Newton's laws to the laws of thermodynamics. Now, you know, of course, you know the law of entropy, the second law. We'll start with the first law. Energy is not created or destroyed; it just changes forms. And of course, you know, it's reflected in Einstein's E=mc² equation, for instance. So that's the first law. And the second law says that, you know, the law of entropy says that everything is decaying. In other words, you know, the universe is experiencing a heat death. And this is agreed to, you know, this is widely agreed by, you know, both non-creationists and creationist scientists. So obviously, by the second law of thermodynamics, if the energy is decreasing, it had to have come from a point of increased energy or a beginning point, or is that a fallacious argument?
Well, I mean, I think Einstein, you know, Einstein's theory goes hand in hand with the Big Bang, and so I just...
You just said the Big Bang isn't true, though. So we're on to the laws of thermodynamics.
But that's one of the central... correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's one of the central tenets of Einstein's theory, that, you know, that... The theory of Einstein's theory and the Big Bang go hand in hand, right?
Well, wait a second. Why then? Einstein's wrong because you just said the Big Bang is wrong.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that I necessarily subscribe to what Einstein says, that you can't travel faster than the speed of light. I think that they've already proven that there's some particles, I think tachyons, are faster than the speed of light.
Okay. That's fine. I mean, that's nuclear physics, and that fascinates me. And you know, that's some pretty hard stuff to get your hand around. And we could have another discussion. But get back to my original question: the Earth or the universe existed in infinity because the Big Bang isn't true. So, you know, again, how does that conform to the law of entropy, the second law of thermodynamics?
That's something that I don't think I'm qualified to answer, but I will tell you this much is that, you know, remember this, is that the Catholic Church, and you're probably aware of this, nearly executed Galileo because he believed that the Earth revolved around the sun instead of vice versa, right?
Okay,
and you know when they apologized for that? It was 1992.
Okay, so I agree with that, and believe me, and as I told Neil, you know, I'm no fan of the Catholic Church. I'll be the first one to tell you, and that's another conversation.
Again,
we're supposed to be having, this is supposed to be a scientific, objective science discussion, and I'll ask you once again, okay, we agree that the Big Bang is a false scientific theory, which puts you into the concept that the universe existed or has existed for infinity, and by the law of entropy, we should, another way to say this is that you and I and Neil and everybody listening right now should have decayed into non-existence already if the universe existed for infinity and if the second law of thermodynamics is true. Now, I maybe I'm missing something, so please, without going off on these tangents, explain this to me.
Well, I don't know why does that mean we would have decayed? I mean, this is stuff that happens over billions of years, and we're just, we're like a flash, or we're just, a millisecond in comparison. Why would we decay?
Because the second law of thermodynamics says that the energy, the usable energy in the universe is decreasing over time, and obviously if you stretch out time to infinity, we should have decayed into non-existence, because if you go infinite time, then it's the second law of thermodynamics kicks in, whether it's 4 billion years or 100 billion years, that infinity is way more than that. So we should have decayed into non-existence. But apparently, I don't know how much time we have left, but apparently you're not going to be able to answer that question unless I'm missing something. But let me ask, and if you can, please do, but let me throw in another question there. I watched the History Channel and, why did dinosaurs go extinct? And we had what's called an extinction-level event or whatever they call it. The meteors, killed off the dinosaurs, and that's why they went away. So if the meteors killed off the dinosaurs 200 million years ago, should not have the evolutionary process restarted at that point? Like, shouldn't have all of evolution just stopped? I mean, what's that story?
Well, that caused, apparently, the meteor, caused some sort of a nuclear winter, which led to, the dinosaurs dying off. But how do you resolve the fact that you have these, do you believe the dinosaurs existed? And if you do, then, you can't believe that and believe the world is 13,000 years old, right?
That's not true. That's not true. I mean, there's references to dinosaurs in the Old Testament. But then that's a religious argument. This is a scientific discussion, and I'm asking, So what happened? The dinosaurs became extinct, and the little amoebas and the little half fish, half people, evolving, whatever. I mean, they figured out how to survive, and the dinosaurs didn't 200 million years ago. Or what's the story there?
Well, at the same time as the dinosaurs, you had the kind of like the lower level mammals, and those ultimately evolved into humans. I mean, that you can trace the lineage, back to to the smaller mammals. I mean, which in turn came from unicellular organisms, which were in the primordial soup. But that was even before the dinosaurs. But my question is, when do you think the dinosaurs existed? If you believe the world is 13,000 years old?
We established that, okay? And again, that is a religious argument, and we can have that argument, but then realize we're arguing religion, and we're off the realm of science. And I'm supposed to be the flat earther here. I'm the creationist, remember? Now, I'm asking you again, I want you to explain to me, how did evolution restart 200 million years ago, or whatever the number is, that this meteor shower destroyed the Earth?
I don't know,
Dan,
do you have
yes.
scientific background to get this, or is this kind of a hard question?
No, no, this is a lot easier than the one about the entropy and all that. All I'm saying is, I mean, evolution started before the dinosaurs. It's not like it had to start over again just because the dinosaurs became extinct. Because when the dinosaurs became extinct, you know, you have rodents and you have small mammals just starting to rise when the dinosaurs fell. So it's not like it had to start over or anything. But my question is, if you believe the world, it's not a religious question,
okay.
It's a scientific one. If you believe the world is,
Dan,
if you believe the world is 13,000 years old, how do when do the dinosaurs exist? It's before that.
Before the Great Flood.
And
the time thereafter. I mean, they refer to the, you know, there's references to the Book of Job of dinosaur-like creatures. But again, you know, we're getting into the Bible, and, you know, and the Bible's for flat earthers and creationists.
All right, so it looks like we're at a stalemate. Dan, where can we find more information? We got two more callers left. We have Bennett, the law guy, and he's going to be interesting. And last but not least, Poison Ivy Steve. Steve is another guy I met over at the thing, so a scientist. So I'm looking forward to the last two. Dan, where can we find more information on you?
You can see me at comediandan.com, and you can see my 100% clean humor, no profanity, no vulgarity. I perform for Republicans and Democrats and creationists and evolutionists. It's just the same.
All right. Well,
thanks for
coming on the program, and I want to interview you sometime because you're a very interesting guy. Okay?
Thanks for your time. I appreciate you, gentlemen. You take care now.
All right,
take care.
Thank
you, Dan.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye. All right. So that was Dan. Now we're ready for Bennett, and I'm sure Bennett's ready for an interesting. Bennett, what's up?
Hey, good to talk to you again.
Oh, awesome.
And sounds like we... Go ahead.
Bennett, I just couldn't wait because I know for a fact you are going to have some interesting questions for Rob. So we're going to let Bennett ask the question to Rob now. He's listened to this whole debate so far, and Rob has been able to question people, but yet they haven't been able to answer his questions because they've been difficult. Bennett, what is your question?
So, Rob, isn't it true that the way the scientific community is that the conclusion of the scientific community today is that evolution exists?
Yes.
And so you're saying that we should take your view over the view of the scientific community in deciding what science we should teach our children?
Well, let me make an analogy, and I'll get right to your question, okay? Now, I mean, 20 years ago, this insane system of the Federal Reserve, this system of perpetual debt, or people have been warning for years.
Okay, what does that have to do with
country, evolution? I'm just making an analogy, okay? You're not really asking an analogy. Okay. All right. And what I'm saying. All right. You know what? Look. What I'm saying is that 20 years ago, you know, people were saying that this country is going to go bankrupt based on the Federal Reserve system. Okay. And all these so-called economic experts, the block of economic experts, we're saying it'll never happen. We'll grow our way out of the debt. And obviously, as we are seeing with the impending default of this once great nation, that the minority was true. So for you to sit here and reference a majority and just reference all these people, these so-called scientists that say evolution is true, that's not really a valid argument. Now, and at the top of the show, I said I'll sit on a stage in front of the top 1,000 physicists in the world, okay, and they can all be evolutionists, and I'll sit up there with my modest academic background, which I admit to, okay, and these guys might be the brightest MIT physicists in the world, and I'm going to ask them the same question I'm going to ask you and then the previous two gentlemen.
Which is
I want
based on a false statement of the Big Bang Theory. It's a parlor trick. That's all it is. This is a circus act. You make a false statement about what the Big Bang Theory is, and based on that false statement, you say prove, somehow make a proof that evolution exists. And basically, it's a variation of evolution isn't true because you can't prove it. Well, you make the whole misunderstanding of what a theory is. The theory of evolution, the theory part, is based on the observation of observed facts. And so based on these facts that we've observed, facts, things that have happened, this is what the theory we've come up with as to how mankind evolved. Now, you hinge on a little parlor tricks like, oh, it's a theory. Well, the theory is based on facts. You know, and your whole statements about the Big Bang Theory and Newton's Law is based on a complete misstatement about the Big Bang Theory, because it had nothing to do with the origin of the species. And so, you know, it may go great. It may sound great for sound bites. And it may sound like you're actually confusing people or you're actually getting the better people. But it's really just a deception. And, it, you know, it does nothing to further reason.
You know, this guy bores me the most yet. Okay. I'm going to ask you, now, you're saying that nothing I'm saying is based in fact, okay? And I'm saying Newton's first law of motion cannot be conformed to the Big Bang Theory by the scientific...
Based on this statement of the Big Bang Theory.
In other words,
it's not about the moment of origin. You're saying it is.
It's not about the moment of origin.
Yes, it's
okay.
Not.
But the Big Bang had to start at a zero point in time, didn't it? Or just happened over years?
If you look at the Big Bang Theory, the whole label itself was a label given to someone by a creationist who disagreed with it. You know, the Big Bang Theory is actually an insult to the actual theory that exists. And if you talk to scientists, they'll tell you the Big Bang Theory describes how the universe is evolving, not how it began. And so, but
okay.
You guys like to do these parlor tricks and play with semantics on this.
You keep using the same language, you know, parlor tricks and circus clown and whatever, and I'm asking you a specific question, okay? I want the scientists...
I answered your question.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
I said your premise is false.
My premise is, so Newton's law of motion did not come into existence until when? What point in time did it become valid?
No, your premise is false. Your whole question is based on your premise that the Big Bang is about the origin of creation, and it's not.
Okay, so you tell me what is the origin of creation. I mean, you tell me.
Well, I mean, I'm not a scientist, but you know, I think the whole thing that
you're not
you
a scientist,
program,
but yet you're on here calling you throwing out these insults.
If I may finish, you started the program by saying Christianity, it's all or nothing, and but the whole point is that you're missing is that you can believe in Christianity, you can believe in God, you can believe that God created all things, and still believe in evolution. The two aren't mutually exclusive. Only if you have a very narrow mind are they.
Not the God of the Bible.
So Bennett, that's true, Bennett. That's what the Catholic Church says. That's what the Holy Father, the Pope, says. You're right. That's probably one of the first things yet that I learned from the Catholic Church is basically that God had to be involved in this. And then that brings Bennett into a creationism, but believing through evolution. So, Bennett, great point. But we got one more caller, and he's a scientist. But where can we find more information on you?
I'm at BennettKelly.com, and BennettKelly, and coincidentally named after a priest. And also, I'm the host of Cyber Law and Business Report on webmasterradio.fm every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific.
All right, well,
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Bennett, and you really got a good point. But let's see what Steve has to bring. Okay, take care. Bye.
All right,
so that was Bennett. Now, Steve. Steve, how are you? You're on the line, Steve.
Yeah, good evening. I'm sorry, I had the mute on. Good evening. How are you?
Doing very well. Now, Steve, tell us your background. We met in New York City as well. And tell us a little bit about your background and what you've been listening to Rob the whole time today. And, again, you have a science background. You're definitely a scientist then, correct? Or semi-scientist.
Yeah, let me give you a little background. First of all, I was raised in a family of a mixed marriage, so I had a Russian Orthodox mother who converted to Judaism. And then I went to Hebrew school and got bar mitzvahed. So I spent the better part of 7 years studying inscription on the Jewish perspective. Having said that, I graduated college with a degree in environmental science and forestry. And I've been into science pretty much all my academic career, which leads me now to what I still do is scientific in nature, being that I deal with environmental issues for the most part. And my take on this whole thing is that I think the argument really is just to get focused here is that evolution more politically correct to be taught in school over creationism? Because that's really where the great continental divide exists today as far as the two camps are concerned. All right, and I think really what needs to be looked at is the religious convictions of people who go with creationism versus the scientific community, who looks at evolution as being the way things, you know, come to be today, with religion not being a component of that. My take on it is, having studied religion, I don't believe that there is a God anymore. I used to. At this point in time, I look at things the way they've transformed or transgressed or modified or evolved, both in the world as it is today and even looking backwards in time. And I have a hard time trying to justify everything that's happened and attributing it to a God. Because if God truly existed, many or much of the things that have taken place that are of the more horrific stature would not be allowed to occur. I can't honestly believe that with all my heart. It runs contradiction to what a God should be about, or what we're taught a God should be about. Let's put it that way.
Very interesting debate. We could have Steve as well, but Rob, your response.
Well, that's fine. I mean, if you want to, you know, have that argument, that's fine. I'd be more than willing to have it. But this, you know, this is supposed to be about evolution, and science, and strictly objective science, and nobody. You know, all I get is the runaround in theory and hypothesis, and all the scientists agree. And I don't care about all the scientists. I just want one scientist to get up and scientifically demonstrate how this so-called Big Bang, how it resulted in forces like gravity and the elliptical motions of the planets around the center of our galaxy or the sun. I'm all ears.
Yeah, but what has that got to do with evolution? Is something that takes place over time. There are things that were discovered years ago, such as the electron rings on a molecule, on an atom. And then years later, they discovered that the electron rings had sub-lower particles that weren't heretofore able to be discovered previously because of either advancements in science or apparatus or both. So the same thing holds true, so that if you look at the Big Bang theory and say that on day one, whenever that was, billions of years ago, there was a multilateral explosion that took place that sent out all the different molecules and particles and subatomic particles across the spans of light years and eons. And each one was catapulted on its own trajectory course, and through evolution, whatever course that particle was on is how it's evolved into exist today or into the future. Does that make sense?
No,
why not?
It makes no sense, because I asked you a very simple high school physics question, which is supposed to be about science and not religion, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not talking, you know, you have a nasty habit of undermining all the speakers who are talking tonight short circuit them out and make yourself correct, and that's not fair or right of you, and I resent that because you insult my intelligence. Okay, if you want to debate this on a fair game, let's debate it. But let's not pussyfoot around and play games now about that I'm not speaking what's true.
But
you've already admitted to the fact that you lack the fundamental background in science. So if that be the case, how can you come off and make some of the statements you've said to me as well as all the other speakers tonight who were invited guests?
Well, I have some scientific background. What I said was that there are a lot of very intelligent engineers and scientists out there whose intelligence on a scientific
realm, I respect.
That doesn't mean I have no scientific background. Well, that's why I'm trying to keep this simple. I'll be the first one to tell you. I'm no nuclear physicist. I just want somebody to answer. I'm just asking a very simple question. I mean,
so
creationists.
For the record, I'm
insulting your intelligence. I'm asking you a very simple question that you should be able to answer. If you're an evolutionist that believes in science and all these so-called scientists, I'm just asking you to name one experiment. I'm asking for an experiment. I'm not saying this to be funny. I mean, this is supposed to be about science. I mean, right? So you tell me. Give me some science.
I'll restate again. Restate your question one more time for the record, please.
Okay. Newton's first law of motion, an object acted on by a force will remain in motion unless acted on by another force, okay? And in its simplest term, or an object at rest will remain at rest unless acted on by an outside force. And I'm saying, let's keep this real simple. The Big Bang Theory, for the Big Bang Theory to be true and all these, you know, particles to somehow, you know, conglomerate together and form the Earth, and then all those particles to form together and start forming fish, and then the fish to start evolving and start forming
what
humans, and all this kind of thing, which is basically
what is the question?
Just answer me. Tell me, when did these laws of motion, or just the first law of motion, forget the other laws, forget the laws of thermodynamics. I'm trying to keep this very simple. Just explain to me. I'm just looking for an answer. And also, I get it.
You're telling me I'm running around.
All I'm getting is a runaround.
Okay, I'm chuckling.
I mean, you're laughing, but tell me.
But you have yet to ask me a question. In less than 25 words,
I'm going to try this again. Okay, let's just say, what scientists, of all these so-called scientists and these mysterious, everybody's referencing, this group of scientists, and I don't care. I just want one that has demonstrated that if they blow something up, that the particles from that explosion will somehow, coagulate, come together to form other particles and start, elliptical rotations around the other objects as the Earth revolves around the sun. It's a very simple, and if that can't be answered, then when did the laws of motion become valid, a specific point in time? Or maybe you can go plus or minus a million years.
Is that your question?
Yeah, it's a very simple scientific question.
That's his question, that he's asked the whole show. Go ahead.
All right, so when did the laws of motion go into existence? Is that what you're saying?
Just Newton's first law. Just tell me. I want, a specific scientific statement from a specific...
The laws existed long before there was consciousness of human thought. Okay, the fact is that we discovered it at some point along the timeline. They existed long before we ever were creatures of the planet. So whenever the Big Bang theory took place... I know this. I know this like I know that the Bible is true. It's the same. It's one and the same. You and I can't validate either one because we weren't around. All we can do is rely upon factual things that are either written or evidence that remains in writing to fall back on as a guide. And you either have to test it out, prove it, or disprove it.
So you have faith. You have faith in science, just so I get this straight, and I have faith in the Bible, so we agree on that. So you're using the word faith. Is that correct?
I believe in science because it's reproducible until you can't reproduce the same result again, and then you modify your theory to adjust for what the new facts present.
Okay. Well, okay. I guess Steve, I tell you, I think this might be another battle down the line, but we have to have ground rules. And Rob really did a heck of a job with the one question. But I want my listeners out there, and Steve, you can tell us more information in 1 second, but I want my listeners out there to say, did Rob, who debated 5 people tonight, win or lose? Email me at nhaley@totaltutor.org. And Rob, when you put this up on your website as well, you let me know how many people come back with you for that answer. And everyone that was guests tonight put it on their website as well. And we'll find out who they thought won. And we're going to have a rematch, I think, set up in possibly May. And I will have to talk to my booker, Brian Kress, to make sure that this happens. And then I'll bring my crew together. Brian will bring Rob together. And, I already see the two people that truly have the best way of providing an unbelievable debate will be Steve and Kevin. And both came from the New York event. So more information on you, Steve.
Well, at this point, what do I do?
Yes, yeah. What are you working for?
I specialize in ridding the planet of poison ivy. We go around identifying the plant for those who are plagued by the itchiness of it, and then we physically go out and remove it by hand without the use of chemical, so that problem is resolved once and for all. And that's what we specialize in, serving the greater metropolitan tri-state New York area. And our website is www.poisonivyremoval.com if anyone has that problem existing on their property or knows of a situation that needs to be addressed.
Well, Steve, I hope you'll come back to the Total Education Show because I think you enjoyed this discussion, but I think you now know the ground rules. And we're going to have to think of some topics to bring up in this evolution. Me, I'm going to talk about wanting to go back to the Galapagos Islands. You know what I mean, Steve? And go to those types of questions. Are you cool with that, Rob? Going to the real things. Rob, how does that sound to you?
That sounds great. I mean, we'll talk Galapagos Islands. I mean, I got Darwin's Origin of Species here, and, you know, we can both read from it, and maybe he can explain some of what Darwin had to say about his own theory.
So my thought is Rob needs to get a tag partner. Steve, you're going to team up with Kevin Kratsky, and basically Kratsky, and he basically wrote a book on evolution. And he's a guy
okay.
that his publicist was at the event you were at Saturday. So he's pretty good, too. So I think it'll be a great matchup. We'll set up for the great evolution debate in May.
Good. Sounds like it'll be a lot of fun.
I think it'll be a great time. But, guys, thanks for calling. I'll say first goodnight to Steve, and then I'm going to say goodnight. Give Rob, because it's Rob's show, the final say. But thanks for calling, Steve, and being a good sport, okay?
All right. Thanks so much for having me. Good night.
All right. Take
Thank
care.
You, Steve.
Thanks, Rob. Nice talking to you. Take care.
Okay.
Same here.
All right.
Good night.
So, Rob. Let's right. find out more information on you, and I tell you right now, you handled yourself well, but now it's going to be fair because you can bring a tag partner, or I'll recruit a tag partner for you that agrees with you, and then you got yourself the great evolution debate.
Well, I got a candidate, and you know, really, and I'm not saying this to be condescending or conceited, and please don't misconstrue me, but. I really don't need a tag partner, but if you think it'll help, I have the ideal person to come in and join me. How would this work? We'd all be on the phone at the same time? And
yes, absolutely, and we'll do it based on debating rules and have a debating judge. How's that sound?
That sounds perfectly fair to me. You know, the same guest, that's fine.
It would be Kevin and Steve. Because I think they are
okay.
the best that would provide scientific background. We look at the research, but that's set up for next month. But remember, you still are the global warming expert as well. But more information on you.
Well, again, my website is boxofsunglasses.com, and all my information, my books, everything is available there, and the listeners are free to go and investigate, download my books. As I said, you know, you're on the honor system where you can get the hard copies online. There's two of them. And I go through a lot more than just, you know, just evolution, although evolution is covered, you know, the whole quote conspiracy from separation of church and state to the Federal Reserve System to global warming or global cooling, climate change or whatever it is. And speaking of that, I have a link called the Inconvenient Scientific Method available on the New Age tab on my website. And again, that's boxofsunglasses.com. That's one word. And, you know, again, the most important thing is God's simple salvation plan. It's a very simple biblical Christianity. I didn't want to go down that road because this is supposed to be about science, and that's the point I wanted to make, but I am more than willing to have that debate. But then the listeners need to realize then we're debating religion, aren't we? We're not debating science, and that's what I was trying to avoid.
Correct.
But it seemed like the conversation kept gravitating back there. I mean, I was getting all kinds of condescending and insults and this kind of thing, and I just have a basic high school physics question, you know, something that I can understand, and again, I admit I'm no nuclear physicist on a purely physics basis or scientific basis. Yeah, I mean, the average MIT, you know, PhD, he's a lot smarter than me. I admit that, but getting back to what we can understand and what's basic, there's no scientist in the world, and I guarantee this, 100% guarantee it, that can answer my very simple original question, which was how to conform the Big Bang theory to Newton's first law of motion, without getting into hypothesis and theorizing and all this other stuff. And you heard it yourself, and I'll repeat this debate as many times, and we'll see where it goes. I don't know what else to say.
Oh, absolutely, Rob. Thanks for coming on the program. Make sure you post this on your website and get your fans out there to vote who he thought won the debate, but you were 5-on-1 and you did a heck of a job, but now you'll have a fair playing field the next time. Okay, Rob?
Neil, I greatly appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, take care. All right.
You too.
All right, so that was Rob Roselli, and I absolutely enjoyed this debate immensely, and I thought, who won? You have to email me at nhaley@totaltutor.org. Check out my website at www.totaltutor.org. And the perfect song, my nephew wrote this song. And this is the perfect way to end the show tonight. And tell me if this is the song to end the show.
Talk Radio. We'll be back in just a moment. Judy, Judy, Judy. This celebrity voice impression was done by solo jazz guitarist Gary Snedden at www.electric-guitar-junkie.com.
Happens.